You are blessed when you are at the end of your rope. I did not do that. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope, because with less of you, there is more of God. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you, because only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less, because that's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you care, because at the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. You're blessed when you work up a good appetite for God, because His food and His drink, it's the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you can show others how to cooperate instead of compete or fight, because that's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's kingdom. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution, because the persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. But not only that, count yourselves blessed every time somebody puts you down or throws you out or speaks lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort, and they're uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Be a good cheer even, because though they don't like it, I do. And know that you're in good company. My prophets and witnesses, they have always gotten to this kind of trouble. Let me tell you why you're here. You are here to be salt seasoning, bringing out the God flavors of the earth. But if you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness. Or here's another way to put it, you are here to be light, bringing out the God colors of the world. You see, God's not a secret to be kept. No, we're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. And if I make you light bearers, now you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you in a light stand. And now that I put you out there in a light stand on a hill, I want you to shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives, because by opening up with others, you will prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father who is in heaven. Now don't suppose for a minute that I've come to demolish the scriptures. I haven't come to demolish either God's law or the prophets, but I've come to fulfill, to complete. You see, God's law is more real and lasting than the stars in the sky, even the ground at your feet. Long after the stars wear out and the earth burns out, God's law will still be alive and working. But trivialize even the smallest item of God's law, and you will only have trivialized yourself. But take it seriously. Show the way for others, and you will find honor in the kingdom. Now, you're familiar with the old command, do not murder. Well, I'm telling you that anyone who is so much as angry with a brother or sister is guilty of murder. Thoughtlessly yell stupid to a brother, or carelessly call a sister idiot, and you're on the brink of hellfire. The simple moral fact is that words kill. This is how I want you to conduct yourselves in these matters. When you enter your place of worship and about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge that a friend has against you. Abandon your offering, leave immediately, and go and make things right with this friend. And then and only then, come back here and work things out with God. Or say you're on the street and an old enemy confronts you. Don't waste one minute. Make the first move. Make things right with him. You know the next commandment pretty well too. Do not commit adultery. I'm telling you that anyone who looks at a man or woman lustfully is, you've already committed adultery in your heart. You see, the heart can be corrupted by lust even quicker than your body. Those leering looks that you think nobody notices, they too corrupt. Listen, I'm not pretending this is easier than it really is. If you want to live a morally pure life, this is what you have to do. You have to blind your right eye the moment you notice in a lustful leer. You have to choose to live one-eyed or else be dumped in a moral trash pile. And you have to cut off your right hand the moment you notice it raised threateningly. It's better a stump, a bloody stump, than your entire being discarded for good. And do not say anything that you do not mean. You only make things worse when you lay down a smokescreen of pious talk, saying things like, "I will pray for you," and not doing it. Or, "God be with you," but not meaning it. You don't make your words true by embellishing them with religious lace. In trying to make your speech sound more religious, it actually becomes less true. Just say yes and just say no. Don't manipulate your words to get your own way. Now, here's an old saying that deserves a second look. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Is that really going to get us anywhere? Here's what I propose. Don't hit back at all. If someone strikes you, stand there and take it. If someone drags you into court and sues the shirt off your back, I want you to gift wrap your best coat and you make a present out of it. When someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. But this is what God does. Because then you're working on your true selves, your God-created selves. You're familiar with the old written law, love your enemies, and its unwritten companion, hate. Love your friends, and its unwritten companion, hate your enemies. I'm challenging that. I say love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you. The best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, you respond with the energies of prayer. This is how God works. He gives his best. The sun to warm, the rain to nourish, to everyone regardless. The good and bad, the nice and nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a medal? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a bonus? Any run-of-the-mill sinner can do that. In a word, what I'm saying is this. Grow up. Because you're kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Be gracious and generous towards others the same way that God is towards you. Be especially careful when you're trying to be good so that you do not make a performance out of it. Might be good theater, but the God who created you won't be applauding. When you do something good for somebody else, don't call attention to yourself. When you help somebody out, don't think about how it looks. Just do it quietly and unobtrusively. This is how God works. Who conceived you in love, working behind the scenes, helps you out. And when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show of their prayers, hoping for stardom. You think God sits in a box seat? This is what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so that you will not be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simple and honest as you can manage, because then the focus will shift from you and go to God. And you'll begin to sense his grace. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are actually prayer ignorant, full of advice and formulas and techniques to get what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you're dealing with. He knows what you need better than you do. So with a God like this loving you, you can pray to him very simply, like this. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best, as above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us protected from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You are ablaze in beauty. In prayer, there's a connection between what God does and what you do. You can't get forgiveness from God, for instance, without also forgiving others. If you refuse to do your part, you simply cut yourselves off from God's part. When you practice some appetite-denying discipline to better concentrate on God, fasting. Don't turn that into a production either. When you go into training inwardly, act normal outwardly. Shampoo, brush your hair, rinse your face. God does, he doesn't require attention-getting devices. He's not going to overlook what you do. He will reward you well. And don't stockpile treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths, corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. You stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from all that. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you'll most want to be and you'll end up being. You cannot worship 2 gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You cannot worship both God and money. Now, if you decide for God, to live a life-filled worship, it also follows that you don't fuss what's on the table at mealtimes, or whether or not the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There's far more to life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, yet careless in the care of God. And you mean far more to him than birds. Or walk out into the fields. Look at the wildflowers. Look at them. They neither primp, they neither shop. But have you ever seen color and design quite like it? Now, if God, if he gives such attention to the care of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he will attend to you? Take pride in you? Do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is get you to relax. To relax. To get you not to be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. See, people who don't know God and the way he works, they fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. So steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. And don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Just give your entire attention to what God is doing now. And don't get too worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. And lastly, my friends, don't make shortcuts to God. Don't make shortcuts to God. The market is full of surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff. Don't. The way to life, to God, it's vigorous, and it requires total attention. I repeat, the way to God is vigorous and requires total attention. Simply knowing the correct password, Master, Master, for instance, it's not going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills. I've already seen it. At the final judgment, thousands upon thousands of people just like yourselves strutting up to me and saying, Master, we preached the message. We bashed the demons. And our God-sponsored projects had everybody talking. And do you know what I'm going to say to them? I never knew you. I never knew you. All you did was use me to make yourselves more important. You don't impress me one bit. Oh, beloved, listen to me, the words that I've spoken to you here tonight. These are not simple additions to your life, improvements to your standard of living. They're foundational words, words to build your life on. If you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on the rock. When the waves came up, the river flooded, tornado hit, nothing moved that house because it was fixed to the rock. But if you just use these words of mine in Bible studies or Saturday night church service, and you don't work them into your lives, you're like that stupid carpenter who built his house in the sand. Waves came up, storm rolled in, and the wind blew and beat on that house. The house collapsed. And the ruin was great.
Jesus has a way of just kind of flipping everything that we know upside down, right? He's got this way of flipping what we think on its head. we're supposed to love our neighbor, right? And hate our enemy. That's what we think. That's what's natural. But what he says is love your enemy. And when you do that, you'll heap burning coals upon his head. So here's what you need to do. Do to people like you want them to do to you. Don't hate people. Don't be a person filled with lust. Don't commit adultery. And now he's connected the dots of how we look at people. So the question is tonight, the end, there are two guys. One guy built his house on the rock. One guy stacked up all of his house, everything that he needed. He stacked it up on a foundation that would not fail. He stacked it up on a God who says, I will not let you go. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I walk there with you. And so are you building your life on that foundation? Or are you building your life on a foundation that when the storms rise, bottom is swept out from underneath you? See, if you're building your life on what you can accomplish, if you're building your life on the fact that you can be a good person, and you're building your life on a foundation that will fail you. But when you build your life on this King who is holy in heaven, he is other. Heights, depths. We can't even measure his love for us. This God who could have given up. This God who when man fell, when man sinned, he could have given up and said, you know what, let's wipe him out and start over. Or this God who knew what was going to happen. And before that happened, he prepared a way for you to be made right. And so the question tonight is, which foundation are you building your life on? And Jesus has some pretty tough words for us to digest there about that too. Because we're coming here, and we're singing these songs, and we're putting our hands up. But are we putting on a theatrical performance? Because if we are, God is not impressed by that. When you wear what you're doing for God like a badge of honor, you got your reward. That's what it says. It says when you pray and you heap up these lofty words and people are impressed by your ability to talk to God, then you got your reward. People thought you were good at that. When you fast, you wear it in your face, people say, oh man, look at him. He's following God, and you got your reward. Or when we come in here, do we just lay it all on the line? Because that is for real. And so that's the question for you to walk out of here tonight. As the band comes up, we're going to sing one more song about this God of ours who is holy, who is great and mighty. The moon and the stars make declaration for who he is. Here's the deal. This is why Jesus can say that I don't need you. I don't need you to be all grand in your worship of me. Because here's the deal. Psalm 19 says that the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies declare the works of his hands. So he doesn't need you to do this for a show. If he wanted a show, he created everything. Creation is putting on that show. That's all he needs. What he wants is you. What he wants is your heart. So as you're ready, let's stand up and we sing this.